Okay, over to you. Get closer. I'll repeat myself for the sake of recording. But the outstanding issue with Agreement South Africa is the introduction of the Agreement South Africa bill. That is outstanding. That there was an indication that it will be tabled in Parliament in 2011-2012. So we'd like to know, as the committee, to say how far are you with this issue? Thank you very much. Over to you, Papa.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Agrima South Africa, it's a great honour and pleasure for us to be here today. I note that I'm accompanied by my financial manager, who is next to me. The process of selecting the new board members is currently in hand, and hence we could not be accompanied by the board chair or the other members of the board, but the process is currently being undertaken and will soon be finalized, as you will see as part of my report. The question that the Honorable Chair has raised, which is the one issue which is outstanding, the issue of the bill creating Agrima South Africa as a statutory public entity, is currently being handled by the Department of Public Works. And I will leave it to the department's representative, who is present here today, to respond as to the process or to the progress regarding the tabling of that particular bill during the 2011-2012 financial year. And the chairperson is correct that this was what was reported in the past. Therefore, with that short introduction, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, I will go straight through my presentation. I know you do have a very tight schedule, and I will endeavor to go through it expeditiously as possible. First, I'd like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here today. My name is Joe Odhiambo. I'm the CEO of Agrima South Africa. And I reiterate that our vision is to be a world-class technical assessment agency. We are not as the big IDTs or the big CIDBs, but we do perform a strategic intervention of assessing the fitness of purpose of non-standard or innovative construction products. These are products which do not have any standards. They're something that is new, something advanced, something modern, and we assess whether they can be used in construction within the country. And in doing so, our mission is to promote government's objective of economic development, good governance, and raising the living standards and prosperity by undertaking technical assessments and certification of non-standard construction products. In doing this, we work together with government. We support government, and we support the key five key priority areas of government and the Department of Public Works. We do this because we report directly to the Department of Public Works, and hence we have to align our activities to the department's and government's key initiatives, which are obviously economic development, facilitating infrastructure development, focusing on rural development, sustainable resource management, and improved public service delivery. I'll expand a bit on one or two of these particular initiatives. On infrastructure, we have seen a number of roads-related products which have come to the fore, which can speed up service delivery in terms of infrastructure. I'll give an example of one or two products which we have looked at in the past, which are like the thin asphalt road bituminous surfacing systems, which perform just as well as the thicker asphalt road surfacing systems, yet are cheaper and quicker and faster to implement. In terms of rural development, together with the other partners in infrastructure development, namely Absa Bank, the National Home Builders Registration Council, we are embarking on the development of a rural innovation hub. By creating an innovation hub in the Eastern Cape, we have an innovation hub in Gauteng and in East Western Cape, and the next one that will be coming up within the next year is the one that will be in Kala in the Eastern Cape, which will look at trying to showcase innovative products which are suitable for rural areas. In terms of our organizational structure, we do report to a technical committee and a board. The technical committee is the one that does the testing and assessment of and approving of the products which the technical agency has approved. The technical agency of Agrima South Africa is part and parcel of the CSIR. We sit and work with the CSIR, that's the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research. Currently, our offices are in Pretoria. We do have a presence both in the Western Cape and Eastern Cape, and we rely on the use of experts who are all over the country. We do this.
Robert, you don't have documents.
Yes. I'm on slide number 4.
Was it distributed inside?
It was distributed before.
Yeah.
And sent.
Okay, that page.
I'm on slide number 4. The organization of structure.
Okay.
Okay, I'll just go through the beginning again, just very quickly, stating that our vision on slide number 2 is to be a world-class technical assessment agency. And on slide number 2, I also mentioned what our mission statement is. On slide number 3, I mentioned the fact that we do support government's key priority areas, namely the 5 areas, and I gave an example of products which are suitable for infrastructure development and for rural development, mentioning the innovation hub. And on slide number 4, the organizational structure, mentioning that we do report to a board and we rely on a technical committee for the approval of the certification, as well as being part and parcel of the CSIR. And we do rely on external experts because the agency does not have all the technical expertise necessary for us to be able to execute our strategic intervention. On slide number 5, that's on the next page, I mentioned what our actual performance was for the last financial year in terms of outputs, and I mentioned what the target is for the next 2011-2012 financial year. I must mention that in terms of our projections for the 2010-2011, we exceeded all our targets, and we do hope to continue to improve on performance and exceed those performance of 2011-12. In the subsequent 13 and 14 financial years. On the next page, on the benefits of Agrima certification, I mentioned that the benefits of Agrima certification is a technical conduit to facilitate the introduction of new and improved standardized building materials. Now, this means that we are a conduit by which people show the performance of new products that can be used in construction. This leads to improvements in the performance of buildings due to advancements in products and building systems. What are the advantages? Obviously, it leads to being able to improve the performance of existing products. It also facilitates the ability to be able to do more with less, in other words, achieve more output with less money or less time or quicker time or improved performance. These particular services can also lead to assisting in service delivery by delivering infrastructure at a faster or a much cheaper rate. And we also believe that the use of these innovative products can effectively address housing backlog. So these are just some of the generic advantages or the benefits of the strategic intervention of Agrima South Africa. In terms of the benefits of Agrima certification, we work together with government to enhance and build better communities. We believe that our certification emphasizes on the socioeconomic aspects and contributes towards accelerated infrastructure development. I mentioned a couple of examples earlier, and I want to reiterate that we are very satisfied with the performance of these innovative products, which are improving construction all the time. We also work together with government to support government's promise of developing affordable, acceptable, and suitable housing, thus creating a better life for all. We believe that our products facilitate job creation and support the EPWP. We also ensure that our products are sustainable in terms of the environmental sustainability. We provide reassurance for the fitness for purpose, as well as our assessment is an authoritative assessment of fitness for purpose or our performance in use. And our certification is accepted and recognized by local authorities as well as financial institutions, including the banking sector, the banking council. On the next slide, on governance matters, we currently report to both the CSIR and the Department of Science and Technology, and this needs to be clarified. We are an agency of the Department of Public Works, given that our funding and our reporting structure is to the Department of Public Works. And I believe that when the department responds on the bill, this particular issue will be dealt with once and for all. That institution interaction needs to be clarified, and we are hopeful that that will be done as soon as possible. I mentioned in my introductory statement that the process of selecting a new board is currently awaiting cabinet notification, and hence the board chairperson could not accompany me here today. We are accompanied by the financial manager. We work together with government, and we believe that more can be done once our legal mandate is finalized, and this will enable us to have the mandate to criminalize defaulters in accordance with the bill or in accordance with the Act of Parliament once it becomes a law of the government of the Republic of South Africa. And we believe that with greater financial support, we can be able to achieve more. And the last point on the last bullet there, our allocation for this financial year is a paltry amount of about 9.4 million and is still subjected to a VAT deduction of 14%, which reduces whatever the agency has to execute its activities for the year. In terms of the next slide, slide number 9 on governance, the board has currently been established, but you're awaiting induction by the minister. And we hope that once this is done, once the cabinet notification has been done, we will be able to have the board strat session, and we believe that these four bullet points are the key activities which the board will facilitate us going forward. One is to raise standards of construction in industry, in South African industry. We will also be able to develop new objectives for quality and quantity of output, and this will lead to making a difference in the lives of the South Africans by enhancing service delivery through tested and approved improved construction products and systems, thus leading to a better life for all. In terms of board compliance, the board has four subcommittees, which I mentioned there: human resources and remuneration, audit, which looks at the audit issues, the risk management, and the technical committee, which I mentioned earlier, looks at the technical outputs from the technical agency. The agency does the testing. The board's technical committee does the approval of the work that the agency has done. So this ensure that there's good corporate governance in accordance with Treasury regulations. This will ensure that adequate corporate governance is in compliance with both national and Treasury requirements and will ensure proper fiduciary management. On the next slide, I've just shown the beautiful faces of our board members. The current ones, and on the subsequent page, the proposed members who are awaiting cabinet notification. We do not have all the pictures as yet, as this is the process is currently in hand. And then on the next three slides, on slide 13, 14, and 15, are the financial projections for the financial year 2011-12, giving a total breakdown of the total costs of about 10.35 million. With a split of 50% for human resources, 29% for technical operations, quality marketing and research, and then 11% for indirect running costs, and 10% for finance, human resources, and administration, giving a total breakdown of 10.35 for the 11-12 financial year. There's similar percentage breakdown for the on the next slide, slide number 14, giving a total of 11.24 for the 11 for the financial year 2012-2013. And for the 20 on the next slide, slide 15, the total breakdown is 12.12 for the 2013-2014 financial year. The difference per year is about 7%, which is adjustment for annual inflation or in price increases or cost increase escalation. But the operations will remain the same. The percentage breakdown will also remain the same. In terms of the greater strategic operations in terms of Agrimon, slide number 17, we are a member of the World Federation of of Technical Assessment Organizations, and again a breakdown of where the other members in the globe sit, with a flag shown on the next page. And very quickly on slide number 19, on challenges and opportunities, we believe that the technical agency has a great deal of technical expertise. In terms of our technical committee, we have expert knowledge and recognized experts who do the assessments. That means that the products and the results are well respected. And we do interpret the results of tests conducted to assess whether products meet the Agrimon performance criteria or not. We do use accredited laboratories to carry out actual tests on products and building systems, and we rely on the test reports to judge whether the products meet the performance criteria or not. In terms of other challenges, the chairperson mentioned the issue of the bill, and currently the delegation of authorities from the Minister of Public Works delegated to the chairperson of the board of Agrimon South Africa and acting in conjunction with the wishes of the board. It is we're currently acting on a delegation of authority, and we are hoping that this can be escalated to a bill of parliament where we can have legislative authority to act and to criminalize defaulters, because currently we don't have the authority or the mandate to criminalize defaulters. In terms of other challenges, we're eagerly awaiting the current environmental sustainability and energy efficiency regulations, which are currently being drawn up by the Bureau of Standards. And once that is done, we will be able to play our role in assessing the fitness for purpose of innovative products in accordance with the bill, or in accordance with the new regulations or the new act. In terms of integration, research and product awareness, we are aware that this is a key activity, and we do continue to play a key role in researching on new criteria on all the time. In terms of awareness and visibility, we are aware that we are not very visible, but we try and do whatever we can within our current financial resources to make our visibility and awareness to be as much as possible. And we work closely with other government and public entities to form to meet our strategic objectives, and also form key strategic alliances to try and enhance our mandate. There's a key challenge of the enforcement of building control regulations. We can only do the assessment, but the enforcement is an activity that lies within the local authorities, and as Agrimon, we do not have an authority in that regard. I just want to expand on this particular point. Agrimon tests products and gives certification of fitness for purpose, but the local authorities are the ones who have the authority to approve or disapprove the use of products within their legislative area of authority. Therefore, we as a technical assessment agency have no authority or no mandate to enforce the building controls legislation. That is a different authority handled by a different agency. And we hope that once we do have a bill, this particular enforcement can be part and parcel of the bill, and hopefully we can have a stronger mandate or stronger presence in enforcing the use of or improving the standards of construction in the country. We believe that innovative products have the capacity to create jobs and employment, and more should be done to enforce or enhance the use of innovative products which create jobs and provide employment. And we believe that innovative products also have the capacity of providing training and internship opportunities. In a nutshell, I believe that AGRIMA, going forward, whatever the bill or whatever our current mandate states, we do have a strategic intervention and we will perform our strategic mandate as best as we can. I thank you for giving the opportunity and I welcome any questions. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, honorable.
Thank you very much. In your presentation, in one of the, before allowing the members to come in, one of the documentation you indicated, you raised, indicated that you have got challenges. And I thought maybe in your presentation you will indicate that, how you are going to deal with these challenges, because you only raise challenges but you don't indicate how are you going to deal with them. Honourable members, over to you. Oh, Mama November.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Mama November, Mama Madlala, Ubaba Sithole, Umama Wanyamabile.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation from AGRIMA. I'll start on the last page, page 20. Just a clarity, the enforcement of building control legislation, the presenter said that the local authority has got that mandate. Now, my question would be on that. Does all local authorities know about AGRIMA, and how are you, should I say, making efforts to make contact with local authorities? I'm sure local authorities refers to the municipalities, because those are the only local authorities that I know of. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mama. Mama Madeline.
Thanks, Chairperson. My first question is on this roads product. I see that the Department of Transport and the municipalities, they've embarked on the repairing the potholes in the country. I would like to know from AGRIMA, because here they mentioned that the one of the custodians, the roads product, what assistance do they give to that effect to assist the department in repairing the potholes? My second question is on the... I know we have been asking this, but it keeps on coming to my mind. It's true that it's their mandate is not clear whether they report to... They're supposed to report to CSAR or NDST departments, but the agreement is that they should report to the Department of Public Works. To their view, where are they, to their view, where do they think they be more comfortable? Are they comfortable with the Department of Public Works or CSIR or Department of Science and Technology? Maybe let them tell us more. Where would they be more comfortable, Chairperson? My last question is on the legislation itself, the bill which they are intending to introduce. As parliamentarians, we would like to know roughly, if they can tell us, when do they anticipate to present their bill, to table their bill to Parliament, if things go on very well. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mama. Baba Stoll.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for your presentation. My mind is just to get some clarifications on, they talk about that they can address the housing backlog. My question is how can they intend to do that? Because if you are talking about housing backlog, it's just a huge amount of backlog. And the other one, Chairperson, is the governance. if you check, they talk about the quality and the quantity. Quantity and the quality. If they can just unbundle it, because if they talk about development of new objectives for quality and quantity of output, if they can just unbundle it and give us something. And then I think that the ASA is unknown, that's why. So what awareness are they doing to ensure that people knows about their jobs, they know about their obligations, and because if they can just give us, where have they done those awareness campaigns?
Are we done? Tatam Ngun, you will be followed by Ma Wanyamabisi.
Thanks, Chair. This question keeps on coming and coming. You know, the human capital cost is much far higher than operational cost. Now, to me, it's worrying, because if you take your human capital cost and then you put it with HR and administration, it's more or less the same. You know, it tells you that it's nearly 60% of money that goes to human capital costs. So I'm a bit worried. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Mama.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is, on the 14 members on this report, this one. That is why Chair was saying I've got lots of documents. So, on page 39, there's an indication that ASA, during 2011-2012 budget year, 14 staff members will be working for it on full-time capacity. What was the situation before? Then number two, on the issue of the total budget or the grant from the Department of Public Works, you have mentioned 9.4, sorry, you have mentioned 9.4, but when looking in page 38, there's 9.6. Can you link the two, the 9.4 and the 9.6? When is that other extra income coming from? If, because the figures don't tally. We talk about 9.4 here, the grant is 9.6. I think the one for the human capital, which is more than the running cost, has been identified, Chair. Then the other one, Chair, is the issue of the board members. You have said that the process of appointing the new board members to serve for 3 years was completed in October 2007. 2008, 2009, 2010, their term expired. Then now, they're telling us about the process or the board has been established, because somewhere in the documents, as I've said, that the documents are many, we're told about the process of establishing the board. But now there are photos, meaning that the board is in place, meaning that there was a vacuum from 2010, October to date, which is a concern, Chair, because how can ASA operate without the board for this month between October? Although we know that it's not the responsibility of them, I think it's the responsibility of the department, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe can we get the reasons for the delays? In that document, you have mentioned the issue of the low employee capacity.
Then on page 35, you have indicated your staff establishment. Can we get the clarity of the number of posts that you have presently? According to your staff establishment, the number of posts that are filled, vacant, and also how many posts are you going to fill in this financial year, 2011-2012, and when? Then the other one, Chair, I think when I was looking at the plan for ASA, I think the role of this committee is to ensure that we monitor whether ASA is able to implement its plan. But if your plan is not specific or is not in line with the Treasury regulation, then it gives us as a committee a challenge, a problem to oversight. Because when looking at your plan, it's just a broad plan. It's too broad. Because we don't know what is it that you're going to do in the first quarter, so that we monitor you whether are you, there's something that, are you making it or breaking it. We don't know what you're going to do in the second quarter. We don't know what you're going to do in the third quarter. We don't know what you're going to do in the fourth quarter. So if your plan, because I've just noticed that some of the dates that you like, the June, you know, the June date in your plan is common. June 20, what is it, where did I note that? 30 June 2012, meaning that you're supposed to wait for 30 June 2012 before we oversight whether are you making it or breaking it. So your plan makes our work very much difficult. It's so broad. Then I think, Chair, they have to just assist us on that one. I think ASA has to just go and simplify its plan, so that we know exactly what is it that they are going to do in the first quarter, in the second quarter, in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter. Because according to the PFMA, we're supposed to get the quarterly report. So what is it that you're going to tell us if your plan is not clear? What is it that you're going to do in those quarters? I think that is my difficulty, Chair, when I'm looking at the ASA plan. That is too broad, it's not specific, it's not clear. So it will give us a problem when we monitor them. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Ngwenya Mabila. And Tatera, we tap.
The model of houses that they are building, can they be seen anywhere? Or is the government using them maybe for RDP purposes or what? And the second one is about one of the board members here who was a DDG for the Department of Public Works, whom I see appears here to be one of the board members. I don't know whether it's permissible, whether he was fired by the department and now he appears again to be a board member here. I just want to seek clarity in as far as that is concerned. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Rabitapi. Honorable Mangwanya, maybe a follow-up. You know, when looking at the activities of ASA, you relate it to the activities of other entities. Maybe can they just simplify? If Njenga Divana Nesalgwazi, Sinbuzi, Siti, ASA, yin um 7th wing, Nyas Kazelantin Nesalgwazi. Mine, I need to be educated on this one. My thinking was that ASA's main function is to approve products that are brought into the market. That was my understanding. Mind you, when they talk about building houses, I get confused because CBE are doing there's a duplication that we need to I don't I'm, you understand my problem. And the other issue that I want to is just a concern, but I don't know. Firstly, I just want to get the difference between road cam and asphalt. I just want to be educated on that. Because as ASA, you can come up with very good products, especially when you want to talk about potholes. To say, yes, you have got good products, but when dealing with the potholes, if those who are dealing with the potholes don't follow the correct procedure of cleaning up the pothole, priming the pothole, and closing it with whatever they will use for closing, to me, it says nothing. Your product doesn't say anything to me. If you don't filter down to say, this is what should be done. Because you know what? In the provinces, they deal with the potholes every 3 if not 6 months. Once it rains, it goes back to the same thing. It's because they don't clean up the they don't clean potholes, prime, and after putting whatever whatever they are going to use for closing, and using the ball mat for stamping, it says nothing to me. So can you assure this committee that yes, we have got good products, but are you filtering? Are you organizing maybe workshops for the contractors, emerging contractors that are given contracts to say this is how it should be done? That's what I want to raise. And the other thing, the next presentation also will talk to us about housing, about tar roads, and you know, it's Mina, I thought your main is to approve. Because we have got cement, let me say you have got cement. You know, a lot of houses these days, honorable members, I'm sure you will agree with me. 6 months down the line after building your house, it will start, you know, next to the, whether you use those black plastics or ever, it will start shedding, you know, looking shoddy. To say the cement that comes into the because you are no longer doing what you are supposed to do as ASA, of making sure that you are checking on the products that are coming into the country. You are now concentrating on building houses and making money. That's how I see it. You are no longer inspecting the products that are being utilized by ordinary poor people. Thank you. Can we give you time to respond and educate us? Maybe we are asking issues that we are not knowledgeable on. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to respond to the question. And first, maybe I just want to clarify that we do not construct houses. We are a technical assessment agency that does testing, approval of fitness for purpose of innovative construction products. Innovative, this definition being products of which there are no standards by the Bureau of Standards. If there are standards, then the Bureau of Standards takes over, the South African Bureau of Standards. If something is new, it has not been used before, it is innovative, there are no standards, we develop a technical criteria and we do the assessment thereof and test it in accordance with that criteria, and if it passes or meets the performance criteria, then we give them a certificate that enables them to be used as a conventional construction product in the country. We do not, as an agency, construct houses. We do not construct roads. We do not implement projects. We do the assessment or the testing, the approval thereof of innovative construction products for use within the country. We are a technical assessment agency. And that's it. In terms of the local authority, I'm talking generally, then I'll go specifically to all the questions that were raised. In terms of the local authority's mandate, their mandate is to give building control approval within their jurisdiction, within their area of jurisdiction. Thereby, if one wants to construct a building, they submit plans for approval by the local authority. The local authority then applies its mind and either approves or disapproves the use of that particular product within that municipality or within that jurisdiction. In terms of the specific questions that are raised, honorable members, how are we going to deal with the challenges? I think it is an ongoing strategic intervention where we do address the challenges. We carry out SWOT analysis every year where we look at threats and opportunities and come up with risk management policies of how to address the particular challenges. The second question was enforcement of building control of authorities. Do the local authorities have the ability or the mandate or the knowledge? We do make contact with the local authorities and inform them of how to apply the use of innovative construction technologies. We issue newsletters to them on a regular basis. We communicate with them either electronically, telephonically. We also do have presentations where we try and gather all the local authorities within major centers, and we do presentations to them on the use of innovative construction products. We tell them what products have come to the market, what they need to look at in terms of approving products, and what how they need to apply their minds in making the decisions whether to allow the use of innovative products within the areas of jurisdiction or not. So it's an ongoing educational exercise. We do the best we can. Our annual report is also distributed to all the building control officials nationally, and it does include what products were approved during the past financial year, and we do try and make presentations to them. We also do answer any queries that they do arise. They often have queries where they are faced with products which are innovative, and they ask us whether the products are, meet the criteria, or if they have problems, then they call us and we send our inspectors to go and assist them in assessing or making up their minds as to the use of these innovative products. So we work hand in hand with the local authorities on an ongoing and continuous basis to try and educate them or to try and enforce their ability to, or to try and enhance their ability to enforce their building control regulations. In terms of roads products, I did mention that we do not do the work. In terms of working with the Department of Transport, in terms of portal repairs, AGRMA in the last couple of years completed the development of a technical assessment criteria. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, the development of a technical assessment criteria is a long drawn process whereby we make use of local experts and a broad-based industry task team. Works together with academia, members of the public, suppliers, producers, manufacturers, contractors, and we come up with a guideline, a minimum performance criteria, which is acceptable by all within the country, and that is used as a standard to develop, to assess new products. There's no standard for cold mix asphalt, and we develop that criteria, and we have assessed one or two products which are suitable or fit for purpose in being used to fix portals. AGRMA does not fix the portals, but we develop the criteria, the minimum performance criteria, for the assessment thereof. And how do we assist local authorities or contractors? Together with the CSIR, we have been conducting training sessions throughout the Republic of South Africa within the last 6 months or so, whereby we have been training contractors, local authorities, engineers, anybody who is interested on the use and the correct method of identifying, preparing, and repairing of portholes so that it should be done correctly. As the Honorable Chair mentioned, if you do not do it correctly, then you're wasting your money. You might as well not have done it at all. But we noticed there was a gap, and we took, together with other road approval authorities, we took the strategic initiative, and we have been conducting this training session. We are also proactive enough to develop the criteria, which set the minimum performance criteria, and we have approved products, which differentiates the good products from the fly-by-night products, which don't work. The products which have been approved by AGRMA are products which are accepted by industry as being fit for purpose to be used for that particular use. In terms of our mandate, whether we are comfortable with DSC or CSR, we belong to the Department of Public Works. We are comfortable with the Department of Public Works. We report to the Department of Public Works, and you're very, very comfortable with the Department of Public Works. We will continue to report to the Department of Public Works as an agency and an implementing agency of the Department of Public Works. Our mandate is aligned to the department and the national government's priorities. And in assessing fitness for purpose of products, we are aligned to the Department of Public Works. The CSR deals with science and technology. We are a technical assessment agency which deals with public entities, and therefore we work with the Department of Public Works and not science and technology or the CSR. I want to make that very, very clear. We are part and parcel of DPW. In terms of legislation, I will allow the department's representative to respond to that particular activity because it's within their mandate. In terms of housing backlog, I want to reiterate that we do not build houses, and therefore we only provide the technology, the science, or the way and means of building faster or building better houses. We do the approval of improved construction technologies. We assess the fitness for purpose of improved methods or better ways of construction. And therefore, that new way of construction, faster, cheaper, quicker, better, we can address the housing backlog. AGRIMA does not get involved in project implementation. We do not build houses. We do not have the mandate. We do not have the finance. We do not have the ability. We do not build houses. We provide the means by which houses can be built faster, better, quicker, cheaper. Similarly, road products can be built quicker, faster, cheaper, better. Better performance. In terms of the question regarding quantity and quality of governance, I mentioned the fact and I highlighted the fact that our outputs for the last financial year were higher than what was projected. And what we project for next financial year is higher than what was achieved in the last financial year. Therefore, the quantity is higher, the quality is higher because the products are performing better, quicker, faster, cheaper. Therefore, quality and quantity has improved. The question 8 was that we are unknown and what are our awareness campaigns. We do what we can within our available resources. We piggyback on the Department of Public Works when they do have events or functions. We do go there and participate as part and parcel of government. We do conduct awareness campaigns within the local authorities, as I mentioned earlier. We do contact, we do participate within other public entities, CIDBC, CBE, as well as IDT, the activities to ensure that our awareness is spread as far as possible. But you can only do that within the available resources. As you're aware, we're a 14-man organization and we are very, very thin on the ground. So we manage to do what we can with what we have. And we also use cost-effective means of communication like newsletters, publications, etc., conferences, to try and get our message to as many people as cheaply or as effectively as possible. I understand that we may be unknown, but I think we're much better than where we were 4 or 5 years ago. We've done a lot within the last couple of years. I acknowledge that our human capital costs are quite high in comparable with our total operational costs, but we're a knowledge institution. We apply our knowledge to provide the assessments thereof. The costs are high because most of the people think we don't do implementation. We are a thinking organization. We're a knowledge-based organization. And hence, the human capital costs are higher than average. You try and keep it at about 50%, which we believe is fine, and try and lower the running costs to as minimal as possible. Hence, that's why we only two here today. In terms of numbers, we are 14, and that is the number we've been over the last couple of years. We lost two people last year, unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond our control. Therefore, we have a vacancy of about two. We did recruit two. We will be recruiting two people within the near future. So the number 14 is there about right. But obviously, if we used to be, in about 4 or 5 years ago, we used to be about 17 members, but we've right-sized to 14 to fit our number of people within the available funding. Because we're a non-profit organization, we have to fit our human resource capacity to available funding, to available outputs. In terms of grants, the figure 9.42 is the correct amount. 9.6 was the projected amount. We got 9.42, which is the amount that I mentioned was subjected to a VAT deduction of 14%. I mentioned there's a vacuum of the board members, and the department's representative will respond to that particular question because the process of selecting the board is a departmental responsibility. I must state that we have continued operating with the old board members because we use them in their technical capacity as experts. The engineers can sit on the technical board as technical experts. And our governance, given the fact that we do report to the CSR, we make use of the CSR financial reporting system, make use of the CSR in terms of the project management system and the quality and all other legal audit and all other aspects are governed by the CSR. So that has remained the same. So the governance, I don't think, has been adversely affected, but we are hopeful that the cabinet notification will happen any time now and that the board will fully have its first strategic planning session and continue operating. So from an operational perspective, I do not believe there was any per se negative impact, but I'll allow the department's representative to respond to that particular question because it is within their mandate. In terms of, I mentioned the question regarding the posts and vacancies, etc. The plan not being broken down into quarters, it's a continuous strategic intervention. We react to people bringing their products to us for a technical assessment. And it's very difficult to break it down into quarters because at times people might, there may be no roads products being brought in a particular quarter for us to test, and therefore we cannot say that, for example, we must have a certain number. But we believe in broad strategic objectives, given that we will have a certain number of, say, 35, 36 applications, because that is in line with historical trends. But you cannot break it down per quarter or per range of product into greater detail due to the fact that we're reactive and not proactive. We react to people bringing products to us for technical assessments, and we cannot determine what they will bring to us. In terms of, I mentioned the fact that you do not build housing, and where is government using our products? I must be very proud to mention that together with IDT and other government agencies, we are seeing the use of innovative construction products coming to the fore. And there are several products which have been used extensively in several different products. And if I'm given a chance, I can mention them in the next meeting, or I can show you the pictures of where they have been used extensively. Innovative products are being used in hotels, housing, schools, all over the country extensively. I must state that. The question of whether the member who was previously DDG, whether it's permissible to seek clarity, I will allow the department to respond to that because the department, the appointment of board members is an executive responsibility. The activities of AGRIMA in layman's terms, we are a testing agency in layman's terms. And what is our main function? To approve products brought to us so that they can be used safely in the market. Innovative products, which are, there are no standards in a layman's term. And I mentioned that training interventions that are being carried out together with National, with the CSR. I believe I've addressed all the questions that were put to me, and I thank you all for the questions.
Thank you very much. A follow-up, Mwanyamabila? It's just a follow-up on what on the responses that have been provided, especially with regards to the plan, which is not clear and specific. The response is saying that they can't plan according to the quotas because they react on the request that on the request made. I think it bounces back to what the honourable member has said. Really, are the people aware of the services that are provided by us? Then secondly, the training, are they supposed to wait again for the request before they know that maybe on the third quarter are going to do the training depending on the request that they are being submitted by various departments or contractors or whatever? So I don't think, Chair, what is it that they are doing if they are not requested? Let's say for the whole financial year, there's no request that is coming forth. It means that there will be no activity that ASA will be doing. Over to you, ASA.
Honorable Member, thank you very much for the question. In terms of training intervention, I gave just one example of training intervention for one particular area. But we do conduct different kinds of training on an ongoing basis. And we do have planned sessions, which are actually planned for throughout the year. Together with the Architectural Technologies Association, we carried out provincial visits to virtually to throughout the country, which was a year plan, which had detailed presentations planned for all over the country. Now, that is detail which I thought would not be necessary for this particular document. In terms of the quarterly breakdown, yes, we do have some of those that detail, but did not provide it in this particular strategic overview for the year. So, I agree that apart from the fact that we do not have show it here, but we do have them internally as part of our detailed planning, which I thought was not appropriate for this particular level. If nobody comes for assessment, we carry out research, we carry out development of criteria. We do have ongoing quality surveillance. All the certificate holders are audited at least once every year. It's a comprehensive audit, and every 3 years is a re-evaluation of the certificate. In other words, if you have a certificate, it's not a carte blanche certificate that you can go and do willy-nilly. No. Every place where you use that particular product, you must inform us, and you must go out there and carry out an assessment to see whether you're building in accordance with the certificate, in accordance with what you say that you did. So there's a lot of activities which may not have been clearly indicated here, but which we carry out separate as detailed planning, operational planning, which is not part of strategic, which is run-of-the-mill. So there's continuous quality inspections, etc. I agree that it may not have been shown here, but I did not believe it was more operational and not strategic, and that's why, hence, it's not in the strategic plan. I apologize for that, and maybe what else do we do during the financial year? We do a lot of other activities like technical assessments, develop new criteria, training, marketing, quality inspections, etc., etc. Thank you.
Thank you. Would I might be a follow-up again? Chairperson. As the CEO responds to some of the questions, I'm getting more confused. Because I thought that here we're dealing with the operational plan. If they're saying that there are lots of operations that they're doing, but they're not part of what they've submitted to us, then I've got a problem. Because if their operational plan is linked to the budget, what is it that they're supposed to approve? If we don't know, what is it that they're going to do? So that is the challenge that I'm having. Because if we approve the budget, we need to know exactly what is that money going to be used for. I think the trainings that they're talking about, there's a budget that is allocated to those training, and we must know how much is allocated to the training to avoid these variants, the shifting of funds from one program to another, because there are plans that were not budgeted for. So they have to just, you know, go to other programs to get money for them to implement those plans. So I think I'm getting more and more confused, but nevertheless. Honorable member, do you want to respond? There's no, Daddy, we need to understand your plans. To say you should have in your presentation, should have included other plans, and not to say there are other plans. So, you know, when approving the budget, I think Wanyamabila is making a follow-up, because she's the one that is going to deal with this issue. To say she need to be informed about the other plans, and I really don't know, because whatever we are discussing here is being recorded. So I don't know, Kuti. Don't you have anything to say?
The comment is noted, and we will incorporate it in future. Thank you. Follow-up, Chairperson.
Are you part of them?
I'm part of Public Works.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, so you want to respond as Public Works?
I wanted to respond as Public Works.
Why so far, Public Works?
My apologies.
In my language, we need to see your facial expression, especially when responding. Because Tina, as politicians, we read what you are saying facially. Whether you are honest to us or not. Come closer. Do you know the song, LR? Come closer, baby. Yes, over to you, Dad.
Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Duma Mbele. I'm here on behalf of the Department of Public Works.
Dr. Duma, before responding, you are responding on their behalf, or what is it that? Because here we are talking about organizational plan. So do you want to fill for them what is not in their plan? Or what is it? No, I thought it was coming here to come and respond to your pay.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I'm actually providing clarity on issues that affect the department. I'm actually responding on behalf of the department, not really, which is in a way also feeding to what they have presented. But there are issues that were not quite clear that the committee has raised, which they could not clarify, and they wanted the department to clarify.
You see, it's now a problem. At the department, the CEO can't clarify properly. The person was responsible. So you come and take his responsibility. If you were saying you are going to respond on the issues that were raised, that are not their competency, like legislation and the rest. But when you start saying, because he did not in this plan include other issues that they said there are other issues that they do if there's no request. I will have a problem, but over to you.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I'm actually responding to the issue of the legislation as well as the DDG who appears on their board, who was actually the DDG of the department. Maybe starting with the issue of the DDG. That DDG was actually a representative of the department in the board. In terms of the policy of the department, when the appointment of that DDG terminates, even the membership of that DDG to the board is supposed to terminate as well, because he was actually representing the department. On the issue of the vacuum regarding the board, I'm aware that the previous minister did appoint.
Let me intervene. Okay. Honourable members, if I'm wrong, you correct me. You see, I don't agree with the issue of embarrassing one another. Because as the department, you should have long said to the former DDG, you are no longer part of the board. If he's no longer with the department, for you to allow him to come here and debate this issue in his presence, to me, it's not Ubuntu. It's not here. Oh, I thought he was present here. Okay, let's continue discussing it.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Another thing that I wanted to clarify as well is that the board that the CEO has referred to is the previous board, and the term of that board has expired. The new board was appointed by the former minister,
if my memory serves me, it's around September. So we do have the new board. The cabinet memo to inform the cabinet about the appointment of the new board was also prepared during the time of the previous minister, and I believe that it should have been circulated to the cabinet. So we do have the new board. I think we will need to take this matter up with us outside maybe this to clarify the issues of why can't the new board be operational? Because as far as we are concerned, it should be operational. On the issue of the legislation, I'm aware that the department is working jointly with ASA regarding the bill. And Honorable Chairperson, I don't have the details in terms of the progress thus far. If I'm allowed, I will take this matter back to the department and provide feedback in this regard afterwards. Thanks.
Honorable members, Honorable Tole will be followed by Honorable Gwenyamaiwila, Honorable November.
Chair, it means that we are now facing with the disaster department. We cannot say, and we cannot allow to be given such a document, and at the same time, these are outdated documents, because it indicates that these documents are not currently in a good standing. Can they give us exactly who's members of what that are presently existing in the department, in this board?
Honorable Gwenyamaiwila.
Chairperson, I said initially that we have received many documents, and in one of the documents we were told that the board has been established. Then whether it's a verbal presentation, that is in a process. The process is to be finalized. But I'm worried with the response that has been provided by the department, you know, because it seems as if the department is this side, the ASA is on the other side. Because if they are saying they're going to discuss this matter with ASA outside, are they not part of the meeting? Because if the board is in place, ASA is supposed to know. Because they said that the former DDG was part of the board. So if there's a new board, the acting DDG is supposed to be part of the board. So I think this is a committee meeting. It's not the board or ASA meeting where ASA is supposed to be briefed by the department on the situation with regards to the status of the board. I think there's a vacuum between ASA and the department, really. We need to come out with a strong recommendation with regards to that, because if ASA is reporting to the department, ASA is supposed to be on the same understanding with what the department knows. But now the department Balogunya, they are going to talk with ASA outside this meeting, ASA in a report here, which is a problem.
Honorable November?
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm covered. There was just one, maybe I was, I fall asleep. The question that I've asked, I understand that when you applied for building a house, your plan is going to the municipality, it is approved, they come out and see the site, blah, 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 blah. My question was, yes, the municipality have to give that, to say that you can build. Where does ASA come in?
That's it, everybody. I saw your hand up. Okay. You see, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm new in this committee. When responding, the department says the new board was appointed by the former minister, September. After the appointment of the board, this committee should have been informed about the new board. Was it done? Public Works. And if it was not done, why up to now to see this on paper or verbally, to hear it verbally? Are you saying, as the department, Tina, as we are sitting here now, we must rubber stamp what we don't know, what we were not informed about? Because at the beginning of this meeting, I said, as members of the portfolio committee, our work is to do oversight. We should have screened information about the appointment and whatever after. For our citizens, we are satisfied. We have got a new board. We know our board, and this is what is going to happen. Right now, you know, if it was not because of these strategic plans, we wouldn't be in the know, honorable members. Members who have been in this committee, they have been shaking their heads when we are talking about the new board, of which, to me, is not correct. Can you please respond on this one?
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I think maybe it's a communication challenge. I might not also be understanding. Maybe they're not the right person to represent the department well here.
You see, Manjin, you are opening another gap. If you're not the right person, why are you here? Why did you agree to come here if you're not the right person? Whatever you're saying is being recorded here. So you're putting us in a fix to say, you are saying maybe you're doubting yourself. It also created a problem.
My apologies, Honorable Chairperson. Okay, can I request that, let me take note of the concerns that the committee has raised and present them to the department and give the accurate feedback within the timelines that the committee can give us.
But we're expected to pass e-budget ASA on Wednesday. And we are expected to submit a report to Parliament next week before the debate. There are rules and regulations. The regulation says AMA strategic plans should be discussed, should be presented. Let me say the deadline of submitting AMA strategic plan was the 9th of March, of which you did not do as the department. You only submitted on Wednesday. The deadline was for us to be able to scrutinize and go through these reports. You did not. And these discussions should have happened 7 days before the budget day, of which it did not happen 7 days. And you still want to go back to the department, come back before I don't know when will you, because our next activity is the 1st of June, when we'll be debating this budget. Honorable Madlala, will be followed by Honorable...
Yeah, just to add on what you're saying, Chairperson, I'm not sure, it seems really... ACRIMA came here not prepared, because I asked about the legislation. When are they anticipated to be submitted to Parliament? Because here they are saying that the legislative framework is delegated to the chairperson of the board. But now they can't answer when are they anticipating it to be submitted to us for consideration. So I'm not sure whether they came here not prepared or what. You're right, Chairperson, Wednesday you are expected to debate on this. Thanks.
Chairperson, can I propose that the two items be part of the the seventh
of the years,
so that we are briefed thoroughly about the issues, although it doesn't affect the budget much, but we need to be well informed about these two issues.
Can we put them on the 7th?
for them, the IDT, is it possible? Eh? IDT, they can also, same process that we are following. I don't know. Because some of the issues we need to deal with them for not long. We'll communicate with you, Asa. Air Department?
Okay, thanks, Honorable Chairperson. The clarity I can give about the board, the appointment of the board, is that the board was, the new board was appointed. And
Chairperson, we're starting a question.
Yeah.
Because we have come with the proposals that Mr. Mpele indicated that you will provide us with the accurate information. So if you open a space now, allow Mr. Mpele to give us the information that I thought is not accurate, because he said he's not sure. That is why I make a proposal that let us defer the two matters to the next meeting that we'll be having, so that we get thorough and accurate information. Thank you, Honorable. I thought on the day Mpele will say agreed to the proposal that I made. Pell.
Thank you, President. I agree to the proposal.
Are we done, Honorable Members? If we are done, the organizational model. Have you finalized your organizational model? If you have, if this is the finalization, the it's not impressive. Can you go and look into your model? Honorable Members, this model, there's no improvement. It's not, they are not moving. Can you look into that and that? Thank you very much. Now we are closing on ASA. ASA. You have identified the following key programs and outcomes for 2011-2012. 1. Disseminate correct objective information to all concerned in respect of the technical, socio-economic, energy-related issues and regulatory aspects of innovative technology and non-standard construction technology. Increase awareness of the entity and the services it provides. Undertake the annual audit of the quality management system in all valid certificated products and systems. That's what you are saying to you said to us today. Increase the number of certificate reviews with regard to staff constraints in terms of its 3-year validity. Continue working with the construction sector to facilitate the introduction of cost-effective, innovative technology and non-standardized building systems within the context of government's new priorities and policies. Lastly, maintain international links with peer organizations, including attending the general meeting of the World Federation of Technical Assessment Organization. That's what you said. Thank you very much, and thanks for coming, and expect more from you, and meet you next time to come and brief us on this issue. Enjoy the rest of the day. Bye. Five-minute break while they are coming in, and so that we can push and...